Good morning, church. Hope y'all are enjoying the Advent Christmas season. I'm going to read from Matthew 1:18-25 today. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with the child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, been a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
Good morning. For those of you who have joined us for the last four Sundays, this is wrapping up a series for us that Steve had referred to earlier, Beautiful Star of Bethlehem and Other Advent Startlements. And I don't know about you, but the last three Sundays have been a bit unconventional as far as what I would deem as traditional Christmas sermons. The first Sunday, Michael Tucker stood up and he preached from Isaiah and talked about what it means to be filled with expectation. He gave us some imagery of the mountains and talked about that there is something coming. And then Steve Sargent preached from Matthew 3 and he gave this beautiful imagery of the wilderness and then described it as being edgy and it coming in all shapes and sizes. And that the old is passing and that the new is coming. And then our third Sunday in the Advent series, Steve Sandifer came up here and talked about John and the question posed to Jesus of, are you the one or do we keep looking? And he tied this in very beautiful ways, talking about and posing the question of why we believe and calling us to think about the steadfast love of the Lord. And then this morning, we are going to talk and share and look at Joseph in Matthew 1:11-25. Thank you for reading, Alex. I don't know about you, but Joseph is a character within the nativity story, within a lot of the Bible stories, that is not talked about very often. In fact, I was trying to remember, I do not think that I have ever heard a full sermon on Joseph. For those of you who are with us last year, I also gave the Christmas sermon, and I talked about all the nativity scenes that I had been photographing on my phone throughout the year. And Joseph was in a lot of these scenes. He was usually in the back. This is one of my favorite ones of Joseph. He's sitting right there next to Santa Claus. And Mary is front and center. There's a candle, Noel, kind of to his right there. And then a little soldier sitting back there with him. But Joseph is usually in the background. In a lot of the stories and talking about Jesus and Mary and the wise men, Joseph is always there and he's mentioned, but he's really not talked about a lot. In this particular story in Matthew 1:18, where I focused a lot this week, I really spent a lot of time putting myself in Joseph's shoes. And so that is what we are going to do this morning. Talk about this from the angle of Joseph. And then leading down into the rest of this sermon, focusing in on Emmanuel. Will you pray with me? Father God, I pray that you pour the gift of preaching through me. May all the minds and hearts and ears be open to what you have to say to us this morning. And may your spirit rest thick on each individual in this place. Amen. So this story opens up and it's talking about the birth of Jesus. And it leads into Joseph. And so what we know about the birth of Jesus, which many of us know, but I will recap very quickly, is there's a teenager named Mary who becomes pregnant, and it is not from Joseph. And there is a lot of questions around that, and Joseph is very startled by this discovery. I'm about to use some Hebrew words that I'm going to totally botch, but everyone bear with me. And so when we start reading these verses, we come to Joseph thinking about what he is going to do, discovering that Mary is pregnant and this is not his child. So in a lot of different translations and stories that you hear is Mary and Joseph are in the betrothal period of waiting to be married. And in the Hebrew, it is called the kedushin part of the engagement process. So back in this time, there were two different phases that you went to leading up to marriage. The kedushin part is where the parents would come together and say, we think this is a really good fit, and I would like some of your cows or other goods that they would share. And so the families would say, this is good, and they would enter into kedushin. And what this would be is the couple would be waiting to come to the nishuin part of the marriage. And in a kedushin, the couple is not living together. They are not having marital relations. They are getting to know each other, and they are waiting to the nisuin part of the marriage, of where there will be a ceremony. And then at the end of the ceremony, they will go home with each other. And then when they go home with each other, babies can come after that point. But up until this, in the kedushin part of the marriage, this is not where babies are made. And so when Mary comes to Joseph and says, I am pregnant, Joseph, as it is described in a lot of the different translations, specifically in this part of Matthew, is a righteous man. I'm going to guess he's a pretty quiet, humble individual who obeys the rules, who keeps covenants. And so he has a really large decision to make at this time. And reading between the lines and all the different stories that I've heard and watched over the years is Joseph had every right to turn Mary in or make a really big deal of, we had this agreement and this is the law and someone did not obey those rules and it wasn't me. But what Joseph chose to do instead was he became very resolved internally, is what the scriptures say, and made a choice of, I'm going to do this quietly. I'm not going to make a big fuss about this. Mary can go her own way, and I can go my own way. And I'm you know, just assuming again, kind of putting myself in his shoes. Yes, doing this to spare Mary and having kindness towards that, but also I'm going to guess there was some shame and embarrassment for him too. And I'm just not going to make a big deal about this and do it quietly. And he personally resolves this, and then he goes to sleep for the night. And then an angel appears, like had appeared to so many people leading up to this story, and the angel says, but there's a different way. And the angel talks about that Mary is pregnant, and it is of the Holy Spirit. And this is startling and weird, and not how usually these things come about. But trust that this is the way that it is supposed to play out. And that the scriptures of old are calling that this is how this is going to happen. And calling Joseph to believe and trust what God was telling him. And to join in this movement. This very radical, startling, unpredictable movement. And the angel says, all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, God is with us. That is not the picture that I thought was going to pop up right there, and that is totally okay. The picture that I thought was going to pop up right there is a picture of Joseph sitting in his wood shop, his carpentry shop, and Jesus is sitting right next to him. And he is carving a bench, and Jesus is watching as Joseph carves this bench. And I think about what it means to have God with us. And that is something that I have to be very creative when I think about God with me in my life sometimes, because it's not tangible. But for Joseph, this was an everyday tangible experience for him. God with us. God with Joseph when he woke up in the mornings and would rock his son back to sleep. God with Joseph as he is disciplining and raising this human. God with Joseph as he is sitting in his wood shop teaching Jesus how to make tables and chairs and benches. God with Joseph. I'm going to ask Kay to come up and do her Emmanuel and David's Emmanuel verses. This is the first version. This is one that we've been listening to for quite some time, and then I will step back up. You're going to need this.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
In this season, we wait again our coming King, who judges the nations and us by being Emmanuel, God, with us. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Emmanuel, God with us. We sometimes think of God as far away, remote, up there, but that's not correct. In Jesus, God came very near. The Word became flesh and lived for a little while with us. God's Son walked with us, fished with us, ate with us, celebrated with us, and mourned with us. Emmanuel, God, with us. Not against us, with us. We sometimes think of God as looking for ways to find us in the wrong, to judge and condemn us, but that's not correct. God is the shepherd who heads into the wilderness to seek us out. God is the one who searches in the dark for us. God is the Father who waits on the porch for us to come home. Emmanuel, God with us. Not unfamiliar with pain, suffering with us. We sometimes think of God as too separate, too other, too unfeeling, too unhuman. But that's not correct. God is the God who weeps. God is the God who begs that this cup be taken from him. God is the God who suffers and dies. What then shall we say? If God is for us, whoever can be against us? Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his very own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then can condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from the love of God? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Nothing, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Not death nor life, not angels nor demons, not our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Emmanuel, God with us. May it be so.
And for Joseph, this is wild and maybe a little bit easier to be tangible for him. And for us, maybe some creativity needs to come in ways that Kay has called us to and reminded us about right there with her words, of where we see God with us as we walk into these next couple days in this great anticipation of Christmas, where we acknowledge and look towards Jesus' birth, of him joining this story that we find ourselves in. About 9 years ago at this point, Steve used David and Kay's Emmanuel, God with us, as we buried my granddad. Steve did the burial sermon or service out in Crosbyton, Texas. And it was the beginning of December, out in West Texas, where there's a lot of wind and dirt. And we stood out in this very tiny cemetery as Steve spoke these words of God being with us in life and with us in death. I've spent a lot of time in a hospital the last couple weeks doing some of my work, walking the halls, and sitting with people who have some very large questions and don't know if they are going to live or die, and sitting in that space where words are not going to do a whole lot, and whispering, God with us in this moment. Pulling up to Herod Elementary and sending my daughter into school, of where she is out of my protection and influence, and praying, God be with her as she shines for you, even at this young age. And I think about us in this room on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, God with us as we fellowship together and love on our neighbors and leave the doors to be his light out in the world. God with us as we gather with families over the next couple days, and that it is good and complicated. And with whatever way or story that you find yourself in with your family, God be with you. God with us today and tomorrow, just like he has been with us in the past and for so many people who have come before us. We are going to stand and sing, and then I'm going to get back up here in a minute and talk about the tables and communion. Please stand.
The herald angels singing, glory.